This is Isaka's Page 2 Podcast.
Hello, you're listening to an Isaka podcast. I'm your host, Kyleen Harrison, CMMI Professional Practice Lead. On today's episode, I'm speaking with Johan Detweiler, the Director of Operation at Teletech, a Cerberus Sentinel company. Johan has joined me today to discuss his article titled What Government Contractors Should Know About the U.S. DoD's CMMC Guidelines. Johan, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your article was fantastic, provided just a great overview of CMMC. I wanted to just probe some different aspects of CMMC with you a little bit further for our audience.
Awesome. That sounds great. And thank you. I'm glad you liked the article.
So one thing in the beginning of the article, very powerful statement from you, is that you said defense contractors, essentially their knowledge of CMMC, well, you said their livelihoods are going to depend upon it. Can you just expand on that by what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. So so for those that aren't super familiar with CMMC or what exactly it is, it's a new security framework that's being released by the DoD. And basically what it requires is for any vendors in the defense industrial base to demonstrate that they have certain levels of security in place. This is similar to what used to be in place with NIST 800-171 and actually is still currently in place. In that they had to kind of self-attest that they were meeting the security requirements of NIST 800-171. Well, what CMMC is doing is it's taking that, but it's removing the self-attestment attestation aspect, and it's including a third-party assessment. That means that an independent group is going to come in and validate the security that you've implemented. And what they're also saying is that contracts, so when the CMMC program is fully rolled out, there will be contract requirements for various CMMC levels, and contractors upon award of those contracts are going to have a certification at a particular CMMC level in place. And what they're saying is that if you don't have that certification, the contract will not be awarded. So that's what I meant by that is that, you know, the contractors out there, according to what the DoD is saying, if you don't have these certifications, you may not be able to maintain the work that you currently have with your contract vehicle. So I think it could have a very real world impact on contractors currently doing business with the defense industrial base.
For sure. I see what you mean by livelihood. Thanks for clarifying that. Definitely. So since you wrote the article, has there been any many changes in CMMC? Is there anything you want to, you know, highlight on the current state of the program?
Yeah, so the framework itself hasn't changed very much, you know. So when they rolled that back out in January of 2020, they had a pretty solid framework in place. So, you know, you have the five levels of security from basic to advanced. And then you had a certain number of practices, which if you're familiar with frameworks, practices is kind of their terminology for security controls. So that aspect hasn't changed very much, but there has been a lot of movement with the CMMC Accreditation Board, the training of the assessors and the C3POs, which stands for CMMC Third-Party Assessment Organizations. And the training of the assessors, the certifications of those C3POs, that has started to really move forward. The program itself right now is in what they're calling the provisional phase. So what that means is that there are select vendors that are undergoing assessments by selected provisional assessors. And kind of the whole point of that is to really work out the kinks in the program, figure out what's working well, what's not working so well, get input from all of the various stakeholders in the program to find out if it's truly going to be something that can be executed on such a grand scale that they've kind of indicated it will be, which is all of the vendors in the defense industrial base. You know, that number ranges from 300 to 350,000 vendors. So this is a pretty massive program. So there's a lot of things that need to be worked out. But again, the framework itself has really remained solid. There hasn't been many changes to what the actual security requirements are going to be.
So there seems like there's so many different aspects of the CMMC guidelines. And, you know, like you said, there's multiple acronyms and everything. Can you give some insights on what might be the impact of this on a small business like a mom and pop shop versus a larger organization? Like, is it going to apply to the same to both of those types of companies?
Absolutely. So one of the things to understand with CMMC is the introduction of the kind of various levels. So basically, there's five levels. Again, level one, kind of your basic hygiene, you know, very basic security. Level three being your very solid, good cyber hygiene is what they call it. And then level five being your very advanced persistent threat models, which are really reserved for very, very sensitive data. The thing to understand is that they're really, the CMMC program is very much focused on the type of data that vendors process. So if you only process FCI, which is federal contract information, that's data related to anytime you sign a contract with the DoD. So, you know, any of those proposal documents, anything like that, that could be considered FCI. If you only process FCI as part of the execution of your contract, they're only requiring you to meet level one CMMC, which is 17 practices, kind of very basic stuff, you know, account management, a general kind of auditing ability within your system, you know, just the kind of very main tenets. Again, it's only 17 practices, so it's not that heavy of a lift. And it really is, in my opinion, you know, security things that should be in place for any network, because, you know, you want to have an idea of who's accessing your data. That's always a good thing. But then when you move up to level three, that's for any company that processes CUI, controlled unclassified information. And so if you receive, process, store, or transmit data in the execution of your contract with the DoD, you need to show that you have implemented CMMC level three. Now, CMMC level three is a pretty heavy step up from level one. So level one, you have 17 practices. Level three, you have 130 practices. So it's a pretty significant difference. And the thing to mention about level three is also that it has all 110 requirements of NIST 800-171 verbatim. So, you know, all those companies out there that are currently doing business with the DoD have kind of attested the past few years that they're already meeting NIST 800-171. So if you're meeting NIST 800-171, that's good news, because that means you're meeting 85% of the requirements of CMMC level three. Now, level three does add an additional 20 requirements on top of that. So you have 130 controls or practices in that level. Now, if you are a mom and pop shop and you really haven't thought too much about security until now, it will have a significant impact, because implementing those 130 practices, there is a lot to consider. There's a lot to think about. They want you to be able to demonstrate that you have the ability to very closely audit all components within your system, manage the configuration of your system, control the boundaries of your system, really have solid account management processes, everything like that, incident response. So if you've kind of never considered security before, I think this is going to be a very heavy lift for some shops. And you asked about, you know, does it impact larger corporations versus smaller corporations? And really, the answer is that from the DoD's perspective, they want everyone to implement this the same way. So if you have a massive global network or you have a mom and pop shop that's literally just a little local Wi-Fi host and a couple servers, they still want you to implement the framework. So you still have to be able to demonstrate that all 130 practices are in place. Now, the advantage that some of the larger companies and the larger corporations are going to have is that they've likely had to implement a framework or something similar to CMMC in the past. So, you know, you talk about like CMMI, safety and security, or FISMA, or, you know, some of the ISO certifications like the 27000 series. A lot of those larger corporations have already implemented that. And so they're going to have a leg up because they have most of the CMMC requirements in place. It's really just a matter of, you know, ticking the boxes, making sure they're documented properly. Whereas some of those smaller businesses, they're going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage here because they're really going to have a heavy lift to make sure everything's implemented and documented properly. So it's definitely something that I think no vendor could ignore right now. You have to start putting the pathway to achieving whatever level of certification you need. You need to start that process now.
Okay, very, very interesting. So one of the things you mentioned in your article was that most will probably focus on level three. So can you clarify that? I mean, you know, if I'm someone new to this whole CMMC, why would level three be a good focus for me?
Absolutely. And you know, this does kind of fly a little bit in the face of what the DoD is saying, because the DoD and a lot of the kind of talks and conferences they've given, they've said that most vendors are only going to need to meet level one. However, since the time it's been released and with Talitech's work with various vendors, we're really struggling to find vendors that need level one only. Because again, remember, level one is for FCI. Level three is needed for CUI. And from what we've seen in the execution of a lot of contracts with the DoD, at some point you receive something that could be considered CUI, meaning that if that CUI goes onto your network, you need to ensure that that network can meet the CMMC level three standards. So it's a little bit kind of opposite of what the DoD is saying. Again, the DoD is really saying most vendors only need level one. We're really seeing that most vendors are probably going to need level three. Now, the way to kind of determine that is to evaluate the type of data that you're receiving. And the DoD is required to put markings on all of the documentation, all of the data that they send to their vendors. So hopefully it'll be very clear based on the data that you're receiving, what type of CUI it is, what level it is, what security considerations may be in place. And so you can kind of easily make a decision. But one of the most straightforward markings is the CUI marking itself. You know, usually it's in the footer of the document or on the cover page, and it says, CUI, this document is controlled unclassified information. And if you have that on your network, you need to meet CMMC level three. So basically, again, anything that is the execution of the service that you're providing the government, the DoD. If at any time you're receiving kind of data that is sensitive, and sometimes it may not be marked. I mean, it has been known that for the DoD to forget to mark things or not mark them properly. And in those situations, if you're not sure that something is CUI, it's not explicitly marked in such a way, I would err on the side of caution and go ahead and consider it to be CUI and then implement the proper security to make sure that you're protecting it in accordance with the level that you need to meet.
Okay, very, very insightful. Thank you. So just to kind of get a little bit deeper understanding, so if I'm just starting out and I'm not sure what types of data are involved, it sounds like you're saying I would look at my contract and then also do some analysis of the, you know, work products and activities I perform. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So your initial contract document should have a very clear definition of the type of data that you'd be receiving in the execution. So hopefully that will clarify everything. And then again, the other place would be to look at the actual markings on the data itself. because all that data is supposed to be marked as well. The kind of sticky point is that we have seen vendors that are receiving data from the DoD that doesn't have any of those markings. You know, there's no explicit mention in their contract. There's no markings on the data itself. And again, you know, it's going to be kind of a risk-based business decision, but I always kind of lean vendors towards erring on the side of caution. If you're not sure, you think it could be CUI, I would treat it as CUI, because I think the DoD's definition of what is and is not CUI is not going to get more narrow. I think it's going to expand, because they're really trying to just lay a blanket of protection across everything. And so I think that they're probably going to start considering even more data types and even more data classifications to be CUI. So as a vendor, unless you are absolutely positive that you only have that FCI, you do not have CUI, you know, if you can validate that with your core, your contract officer representative, you know, whoever's in charge of the contract at the DoD, if you can verify that with them, that of course holds the most weight. You know, sometimes that's not always possible, but you should really expend a lot of energy trying to determine, you know, do I have CUI on my network? Because it really is a huge difference between level one security requirements versus level three security requirements.
Definitely, as you explained earlier. So if I'm trying to get started, you know, one of the things your article mentioned is doing a gap analysis, which makes a lot of sense. But is that something organizations can do internally, or do you recommend they bring someone externally to do that? How do you recommend organizations get started with that?
Absolutely. So it's definitely something that you can do internally. You know, Talatech, we're in the business of kind of helping organizations to achieve the frameworks they need, but that's not to say that you can't do it yourself. I think you absolutely can. And especially if you're starting kind of from the ground up, you know that you haven't really implemented a lot of security, you know, that may be a time where you don't necessarily need to bring in a vendor to do a gap analysis, because you know that you have a lot of work to go to achieve, you know, a level three or whatever level you need. You know, the time that gap analyses are really, really valuable is that when you're 90% there. You know, you're positive that you have implemented most of the security requirements. A gap analysis would be really, really valuable for a company that has implemented 800-171 and have taken steps to start implementing the remaining 20 practices, and just want to basically validate that they have implemented everything in the way that it will pass an assessment. And again, an internal gap analysis is completely viable, especially if you have personnel that are security minded or security focused. But if you're an organization that, you know, again, you've maybe implemented most things, but you don't really have a lot of security personnel, or you don't necessarily have somebody that's an expert in security frameworks and things like that, I think those type of organizations can really benefit from bringing in a third party to perform your gap analysis. Because again, if you're most of the way there and you think you've implemented everything properly, it's really a good idea to get a new set of eyes on it. An organization that's independent, that is not overly familiar with your network or you know, the business practices you have, to get that fresh set of eyes and really look at how you've implemented the requirements and are they actually meeting the full requirements of CMMC.
Okay, thank you. That makes a lot of sense. I like that perspective, getting a fresh set of eyes.
That's always an important thing. You know, it's like being an author. It's such an important thing to have an editor, right? Because you become so close to the material that sometimes you can't, you know, kind of objectively look at it and say, you know, did we really think about all the accounts on our network when we talk about account management? Or, you know, are we really auditing all of the components on our system? And that's when it's really valuable to get that third party perspective.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if I, you know, I'm a new organization or new to the CMMC and I do my internal gap analysis, and then perhaps I get an expert to come in, like you said, fresh set of eyes, how else am I going to need to engage an external individual? Because you mentioned the assessment. I'm assuming that person has to be externally accredited. Can you clarify that? What else am I going to need an external person for?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is kind of the really new piece to CMMC, is that requirement to eventually have an accredited third-party organization come in and review the security of the system. So that's really the new introduction here. Yes, there are new practices, there are new controls as part of this framework, but that requirement for independent validation is really what is new about CMMC. For organizations right now that are concerned about, you know, what are their next steps, the process of getting those certified C3PAOs is happening right now. So right now, there are only provisional assessors. There are really no licensed C3PAOs. So there's really no independent assessor that you can bring in at this point. When you would want to bring in a third party right now would be for kind of what I was talking about with the gap analysis. If you've gone through the process of saying, you know, we've implemented 50%, 75% of the baseline, and we're kind of stuck, or we want to make sure that we've implemented it properly so that it will eventually pass an assessment, that's where bringing in the third party can really help. Because again, there are companies out there that kind of specialize in meeting frameworks. Talatech is one of them. So we're very familiar with the types of requirements that are seen in the CMMC framework, as well as, you know, your ISO frameworks, your NIST FedRAMP frameworks, things like that. So we can kind of come in and, maybe translate it a little bit, because sometimes that security language can be really technical, or it can say one thing and you know, somebody that's not familiar with security might interpret it in a way where it's not actually what it means. You know, it's not actually what the control is looking for. So a third party can kind of come in and help you translate that as a business and see how it really applies to your business, and then come up with roadmaps and ways to address deficiencies and figure out the way to implement the requirements that will work for your organization. The other nice thing about CMMC is the fact that it's built in levels. So if you are a company that is really starting from ground zero, well, the first thing to do, target CMMC level one. Even if you know eventually you need to get to CMMC level three, the level one requirements are kind of the basis upon which everything else will build upon. So you need to at least make sure that you have those 17 practices in place. So again, if you're starting from ground zero, start with level one. Make sure that you implement those. If you're struggling to do that, go ahead and bring in a third party to help you, because they can put in a roadmap. They can determine what it is that you're going to need. You know, are you going to need technical help to architect a solution? Do you just need somebody to, again, translate the security for you so that you're making sure that you're implementing the requirements? But, you know, obviously every business is going to be different. But if you implement level one and you say, you know, that wasn't so bad, well, then move to level two. So level two adds 58 practices on top of level one. That's the most easy way to kind of transition is target level two. And then once you've implemented level two, go ahead and target level three and, you know, just take it from there. And then again, if you're a company that's a little bit more mature, you have implemented NIST 800-171, then really the only thing to target are those additional 20 practices that are part of CMMC level three. So, take the results of your internal assessments that you conduct kind of annually as part of 800-171. Take those results and then kind of put a roadmap in place that will allow you to meet all of the 800-171 practices and then expand upon those practices to meet the CMMC requirements.
Great. I really liked what you said about translations and transitions. It makes a lot of sense.
It's so important because, you know, it really is, you know, kind of 90% of this is just understanding what are they asking for? You know, because sometimes it's not clear. If you're not familiar with some government documents, it's can be like reading a different language. So it's really important to have somebody interpret it. And if, you know, you're really, really struggling to even understand what the practice is asking for, it's going to be next to impossible to implement it. So kind of having somebody come in and just say, this is what they're talking about, and this is how it applies to your organization, can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it. With all these industry standards and certifications, it can become overwhelming very quickly. And so translations is definitely a good thing to focus on is what does the standards translate to?
Exactly
for my business. So you've shared just a wealth of information, a lot of insights, a lot of information. I'm just thinking for the, you know, organization out there who's trying to get started, and, you know, like I said, you provide a lot of information. What would you say is like, what's the most important thing, like the top 2 to 3 things like that they can start doing today? Like, what's the most important to focus on?
So honestly, this is going to seem pretty basic, but one of the most important things is you're going to have to read and familiarize yourself with the documentation. It seems basic, but I've seen so many companies that just kind of rely on what they've heard, you know, through social media and things like that. And then you ask them, you know, well, you know, where, what practice are you struggling with, or what, you know, what particular detail are you having problems with? And then they don't know what you're talking about, you know? So it's really important to read the documents and see if you understand what is in place and what is being asked for. So that's absolutely the best place to start is you're going to need. So I think the time of vendors kind of doing business with the DoD and probably the government in general without having a resource or a department or somebody in their company that is familiar with security and familiar with IT, I think that time is dying out because IT security is becoming such a prevalent part of you know, the government. Every day you hear about new hacks and new malware and all kinds of zero day attacks and things like that. So the CMMC kind of represents the DoD's really big step in saying that everyone is going to have to start taking security a little bit more seriously. And I think organizations kind of need to realize that they're going to need to understand these requirements and they're going to need to have somebody that can speak to all of the requirements of CMMC level 3. You're going to need to have documentation. It just required by CMMC level 3, you have to have policy and procedures. You have to have a security plan in place. You have to have a system security plan that outlines, you know, what is the network? What are the components of the network? So you have to have somebody that has the capability to write those documents and create those documents and understand them. So I think companies really need to understand that a resource for security, somebody or something or some resource is going to need to be dedicated to understanding this and complying with it. And that's likely going to be a full-time position or, it's going to need to be an ongoing contract with a third party or something along those lines. So I really think it's important that vendors understand that this is just the beginning. These security requirements are not going to go away. They're going to be here to stay. And they're going to get more stringent in the future because, you know, attacks are becoming more and more prevalent. The data that you process is the prize. And it's very important that you protect that data. And the government realizes that, and that's where we're getting CMMC from. So, you know, to kind of summarize all that, I think it got a little bit rambly there, but it's going to be really important for companies to read, understand, and have a way to kind of digest and process all of these security requirements.
Okay, great. That makes a lot of sense. Can you talk a little bit about StateRAMP and what is it exactly and how it differs from FedRAMP?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that aren't familiar with FedRAMP at all, FedRAMP is a program that is designed to accredit the security of cloud-based systems that provide a service to the government. So in the FedRAMP process, you have what are known as cloud service providers, and they have systems that they accredit through the FedRAMP process at various levels, basically low, moderate, and high. And that's dependent on the type of data that the system processes. And so basically the FedRAMP program, in order for a government agency to use a cloud-based system, that system has to be accredited through FedRAMP. And so that's the idea of FedRAMP in general. It's a way to validate the security of cloud-based products. StateRAMP is basically the same thing as FedRAMP. They use the same control baselines, just slightly modified, but at the state level. So now state and local governments will have the ability to validate the security of any cloud-based products that they're using through the StateRAMP process. And the idea of StateRAMP is that it's meant to, it doesn't want to reinvent the wheel. So if you have a cloud service provider that has a FedRAMP accreditation, so say you have a FedRAMP moderate system, the StateRAMP program offers full reciprocity. So that FedRAMP moderate system would then be a StateRAMP moderate system. And really, again, the idea is that it allows these state and local governments to validate the security of any vendors that they're using, cloud-based vendors. So it's definitely in its infancy. It is rolling out kind of as we speak. And right now, every state is kind of adopting it a little bit differently. Some states have actually put a mandate in place where it says, you know, if you're going to use a cloud-based product, we want to see that it has a StateRAMP accreditation. And other states have not quite gotten to that level yet, but it is available, which is always nice to have. The fact that you can go to a centralized marketplace on stateramp.org and actually, you know, see, does this system have a StateRAMP accreditation? And if so, know that that accreditation means that the security of that product has been validated in some way. And again, the validation, similar to CMMC, occurs through independent third-party assessments. So in the FedRAMP program, you have what are known as 3PAOs, not C3PAOs like CMMC. But again, they're just third-party assessment organizations. The StateRAMP program uses the independent validation by third-party assessment organizations, 3PAOs, and they use the same 3PAOs that the FedRAMP process uses. So there's, I think, about 40 of them. And it really serves as the backbone of those programs, is that you have that independent validation conducted by an organization that has been kind of certified to be able to perform those type of assessments. So they're similar to CMMC in that way. And then FedRAMP and StateRAMP, they go hand in hand. And, you know, it's kind of in the name, right? You got FedRAMP, which is federal, StateRAMP, which is state and local level.
Okay, great. So that would be in addition to CMMC requirements, right?
So it could be. So the CMMC, they're still kind of in the process of rolling out. So it's a little unclear, but we do feel like there will be reciprocity between FedRAMP and CMMC. What exactly that is and how exactly that's going to work hasn't been clarified yet. You know, that's going to be in the details. But kind of the generalized thought is that they have said, for C3PAO organizations, we have to become CMMC level 3 accredited ourselves. And what they've told us is that we can use cloud-based services as long as they are FedRAMP moderate or above for CMMC level 3. So there's definitely going to be reciprocity. It does kind of already exist. It's really just a matter of, you know, how are we going to document that? Do we still have to go through some form of independent assessment if we have a FedRAMP accreditation? But, you know, because these two frameworks borrow so heavily off of each other, if you're FedRAMP moderate from a just security controls perspective, you have implemented everything that's going to be required in CMMC level 3. So, you know, it really then just becomes, how do they want to, you know, do the certification? How do they want to do that reciprocity, which is a little bit more kind of detail oriented?
I see. That would be great, having some reciprocity.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Talatec, we're a cloud service provider, so we're fingers crossed that it'll be a very easy transition.
Yeah, that will be really nice to see some reciprocity. Well, you've been just so great. Lots of great insights and information. I just wanted to take a moment and see, is there, you know, anything else you wanted to, you know, share or convey about CMMC and what to expect in the road ahead?
You know, I think the one main thing is that it's something that can't be ignored. You know, it's there's been so many other kind of programs. I mean, I think NIST 800-171 is a really good example of, you know, a framework that was rolled out, best intentions, but at the end of the day, you know, I think a lot of organizations out there kind of ignored it or kind of just checked the box and said, yeah, we're doing that. CMMC, that's not going to be the case. Because of that independent validation, you are going to have to implement these controls. You're going to have to implement this framework. And you need to start doing that now, because if you're working from the ground up, there's a lot of steps that you're going to have to take. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to start putting into place. And there's really no better time to start than now. It's something that's going to need to happen. The final rollout of CMMC to where it's really going to impact absolutely everyone, they're saying, is going to be around fiscal year 2026. But, you know, there's nothing to say that the particular contract that your organization works on might put in CMMC requirements in their next re-up. You know, maybe 2 years from now on that five-year contract, it's going to go for renegotiation, and maybe they're going to drop in a CMMC requirement. We don't know for sure. So it's something that every organization that does business with the DoD needs to consider. It's something that can't be ignored. If you just don't know what the next steps are, reach out to organizations like Talatec, reach out to a third party organization and ask for help and see what can be done. Because it's not something that can be ignored, unfortunately.
Thank you, Johan. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you. So much information, such a wealth of information, great insight, fabulous article. Encourage everyone to go out and read it. Just great information. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. And I look forward to connecting with you in the future on continuing down this journey with CMMC. But it was wonderful talking with you today. And thanks again for your time.
It was an absolute pleasure speaking with you as well.
I'm Kylene Harrison, and this is an Asaka podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Page to Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode.